You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. And now, it's Jim Daniels.
Glad you made it. This is Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels, here every Sunday morning, where we'd like to take a slightly different look at the sports world, kind of shove the box score aside and take a closer look at some of the stories, individuals that are making news in the world of sport. And there's never a shortage. I can tell you that. There's never a shortage of material for this program. Boy, you want to push the box score aside and just focus on the folks and the stories? We got that for you. A number of things that I want to share. A couple of things from March Madness. Again, we don't get into box score stuff and that kind of thing on this program. But one of the great attractions for March Madness is the brackets. And you get to get your bracket. It's the whole ritual. You wait for Selection Sunday. The teams are selected. Then the brackets are filled up on either side. You print them out and start scribbling furiously all over them and then figure out which one you're going to turn in for which bracket or which pool. And if it seems like this year's round was the most upsetting ever, that's because it was. Now, let's talk about how you can measure this, because how you can measure a big upset is by looking at it. And this is just one way to score things. People have very creative ways of doing this, but one way to do it is when number 15 Middle Tennessee knocked out number 2 Michigan State. We give that 13 upset points, as in the 13-point differential between the seeds. Similarly, when Stephen F. Austin at number 14 was upset number 3 West Virginia, that's 11 upset points. So based on that model, the upsets in the first round this year accounted for 71 upset points. This is the most in the 32 years that the NCAA has used this format. It eclipses the 66 upset points from the 2012 first round of March Madness. Wow. So five more upset points higher than the previous record of 2012. So if your bracket is bruised and bloodied and broken, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You know, a lot of people have the similar thing. And win or lose, you know, people have to deal with the media. You've got the post-game press conference. Well, St. Joe's coach Phil Martelli, he's a happy guy after he wins. I mean, they just won a really exciting game over number 9 Cincinnati. But afterwards, and he's usually in a jovial mood, this guy. But afterwards, he was being questioned by a reporter, and just the whole scene and everything in front of him just seemed strange to the coach.
DeAndre had that big first half.
You're right, by the way. You need a cushion or anything, like. I've never been in a press conference where a guy has his feet up on the chair in front of him. I'm cool, though.
I'm just naturally comfortable.
This is like the West Coast. We're like in a... I'm cool.
Welcome to the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do they sell marijuana in this town?
Yes, actually. You might want to keep your team in the hotel.
Wow. St. Joe's Phil Martelli. Pile it on. Hey, he's just having a good time. I mean, obviously, it sounds like a young guy, and he's got his feet up in the chair in front of him, and he's comfortable. And the coach says to him, well, I've just never seen anybody so comfortable at a press conference. Can we get you a pillow? Maybe an air mattress? How about some marijuana? Maybe he's asking him, what, are you just stoned? The kid says, no, I guess I'm just naturally comfortable. I love that story. That's terrific stuff. You just don't get that out of a coach very often. Let's move off of March Madness for just a moment. It has really dominated our world here over the past several days. I want to stay with basketball, though, because we've got a superstar, about to be shown around, if you will. Kevin Durant, apparently through his people, he doesn't really control the whole free agency rumors and everything, but you can kind of fan flames and get your agent to do some stuff. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Matter of fact, the calendar flips for him on July 30th, from June 30th. And on July 1st, any team that wants to court him will have to start making their plans. Actually, they should be talking to his travel agent for plans, too, because according to our very own Chris Mannix here at NBC Sports Radio, Kevin Durant is looking forward to being recruited and being courted and treated like the biggest free agent in the world that he is, similar to what LeBron James experienced 6 years ago. The chances of Kevin Durant actually sending a simple tweet out and answering all that, absolutely out of the question. So you let the underlings, the agents, the handlers, the hangers-on, the entourage, you let them get all of that word out there. Now, where this guy is going to go, I don't know. But you know what? He wants to be wined and dined. So that means the Knicks, you need to bring him in. The Lakers, you need to bring him in. The Celtics. I think he is on record as saying that he would like to play for the Celtics. I tell you what, that might not be a bad move for both teams, because the Celtics are loaded with young players and draft picks, and you make a nice deal with OKC. Like if Kevin says, look, I'm not coming back here, let's do the sign and trade deal. You might really have something there where you could find some good young players to put with Russell Westbrook next year and actually make yourself a pretty good team, especially when you're facing the fact that the guy may leave anyway and you may get nothing for him. But the word is, early on, that he wants to be wined and dined. Now, I don't know that that means if you show him a better time in L.A. than New York, he's going to sign with the Lakers. I don't think that's it. I think he's just saying that he wants the superstar red carpet treatment from everybody that he wants to be considered, and then he'll go from there. And then where he actually goes, I don't know. I think the Celtics would be a good move for him. That's a great place for him. Obviously, a great organization that has a history of winning and spending some money. Danny Ainge is a bit of a mad scientist, maniac general manager, but you know what? It's a winning culture, and that's what you want if you're a player of this ilk. You've already got your money. Now it's time to see what you can do about getting a ring on that finger. Speaking of rings on the finger, Kobe Bryant recently had his All-Star Game jersey go up for sale. All-Star Game worn jersey go up for sale. Actually, only wore it in the first half of his final All-Star appearance last month up in Toronto. It was auctioned off on the NBA's official site, and the price, absolutely off the chain. The winning bid for Kobe Bryant's last game-worn All-Star jersey, $100,000. $100,000. Actually, the official bid, $1,040 was the winning bid for Kobe Bryant's game-worn All-Star jersey. Good grief. $100,000. Hey, now. Speaking of lots of money and things like that, let's move to this quick story from the NFL. Peyton Manning recently is on record talking about, well, you know what? This happens. You get to the end of your career, you retire, you got all of these records, and people are going to say, you know, what about your records? You know, do you think any of them will stand? How will your records go down? Peyton Manning threw 114 touchdown passes to Marvin Harrison. That's the most in NFL history for one quarterback to a receiver, the quarterback-receiver pairing, actually. And Manning said, you know, quote, the very first preseason game, my very first pass, I threw a 5-yard pass, and Marvin Harrison ran 48 yards for a touchdown. I remember thinking, wow, the NFL is easy. You just throw a short pass and Marvin Harrison will run for touchdowns, which is pretty much what he did for the entire time that we played together. Close quote. Yeah, he says, if the record is ever going to be broken, it's going to be a long time from now. Nothing in the foreseeable future. Because the second most touchdowns for a quarterback-receiver pairing is 92. That's Steve Young to Jerry Rice. The closest to that active is 76. Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates. And there's no chance of Rivers and Gates sticking around for 38 more touchdowns, not unless Antonio Gates has one of the greatest seasons in tight end history in the NFL. Same thing for Philip Rivers, and he's going to have to throw almost every one of them to Antonio Gates. No, Manning has 114 touchdown passes to Marvin Harrison. Again, to recap, Steve Young to Jerry Rice, 92. They're not playing anymore. So next closest is 76. It's not close. That's what we're saying. Where's Brady in all this? I don't know. Not high enough to rank in this in these figures. And you know what? Brady's always throwing him to somebody else. That's the thing about Tom Brady. So, yeah, Peyton Manning, maybe he's staring at a record that could be a long, long time before it goes anyplace. There's been a lot of talk about O.J. Simpson lately, The People versus O.J. Simpson, the television show on FX that has been going on. And with that is a lot of talk about, what about all these people? Where are they now? What are they doing? Marcia Clark, for one, I just read recently, her book deal was worth $4.1 million. So when she was all done, I know she's done some television, but the point is, you don't need to do anything after that. I don't think Chris Darden made quite as much money, but a name that popped up yesterday that I saw that I had to share with you out of this, all of this OJ drama is Kato Kaelin. You remember America's favorite house guest? Well, Kato Kaelin, who's now 56 years old, he's dabbled in a lot of things. He was in Celebrity Boot Camp on television. He was in basketball. The South Park guys did basketball. He's in that. He was actually on the radio here in Los Angeles for a brief period of time, just a few months back in the 90s, right when the civil trial was going on. But recently has come up with something that his people are calling loungewear. Kato Kaelin has designed loungewear. And the brand name that he's going to use, Slackerwear. Yep, new from Kato Kaelin, it's Slackerwear. I'm not making this up. The signature pant that comes with Slackerwear includes a pocket for couch potato supplies, quote unquote. What are couch potato supplies? Well, come on, you know what that is. Cheetos, Fritos, Doritos. I would imagine maybe there's one on the other side that maybe got, you know, some of that cooler material, you know, that you slide the can into or the bottle of wine. You know what I'm saying? You put one of those in one pocket and you can keep that can of soda or beer that you're saving for later kind of cool, while the other side is filled with Cheetos, Fritos, and Doritos. Show of hands, how many people are surprised that Kato Kaelin has come out with something called Slackerwear, and 20 years after the trial, still doesn't have a book deal, any money, or a job? Anybody? Surprised? No? Zero? Okay. Kato Kaelin. I knew you'd be thrilled to get a Kato Kaelin update. All right, up next, what we're going to do is talk to the professor. Rick Horrell talks about the business of sports, and we'll talk about dollars and deals coming up next. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels bringing you Speaking of Sports this morning. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate that. On the line now, we have the professor, Rick Horrell. Actually, this is really a busy week in the sports world. So many things going on. And boy, I tell you what, the deal-making season really never ends, does it, Professor?
No, it doesn't. You have a lot of energy this morning. I'm back on the Eastern time zone. I respect the fact that after 2 weeks on the Western time zone, to do something at 5:30 in the morning, man, I'm telling you. So I even have a little more respect for you than I did before.
We like every bit of that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the tournament here a little bit. Instead of calling it March Madness, we call it March Adness. Boy, I tell you what, the ad dollars keep spiraling up. I guess we need all these ad dollars in order to pay all of these people, but let's talk about some of these ad dollars. Whoa, big numbers.
Big numbers pay all the athletes, maybe, eventually, if you ever see it. You know, revenue's up 20%, $1.15 billion in advertising revenue, including new sponsors like Hilton Hotels, AT&T, Coca-Cola, Capital One. Here's one, and by the way, we're not endorsing them. We're just commenting on them. So Pizza Hut did a no-pants-required ad the first 2 days. They said fans don't have to leave the comforts of their own homes to get wing joint quality wings, and they had pictures of a guy in their underwear. Guess what? 68 million wings during the 3 weeks of the college basketball tournament, more than any other national restaurant. You can make some jokes about cheek wings and stuff like that. We won't even do that. We'll just say it is incredible that these creative ads air and generate a lot of money. That's why they pay the $1.1 billion.
You know, let me stay with the tournament and the dollars for just a second, because the NCAA is currently accepting applications for March Madness host cities for 2019 through 2021. Just how much money are we talking about into the local community if you were able to attract the big dance to your town?
A big dance for the Final Four is nearly $200 million. Look at Houston, look at Phoenix. But there are a lot of the cities, by the way, who have nice quality arenas. No NBA teams in there. Spokane, Des Moines, St. Louis, Providence, just to mention a few. Raleigh, they have, you know, hockey teams or others, but they don't have NBA teams. So the first, second round is a great opportunity to generate money, not only from your home teams, like Carolina was playing in Raleigh, but also teams who come in with their fan base from other cities. So it is big numbers, which is why convention and visitors bureaus like the one in Des Moines see it as a tremendous success. Doesn't hurt, by the way, that Northern Iowa and Iowa and Iowa State are also in the tournament still.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't hurt at all. Rick Horro is our guest. We talk the business deal-making of sports here on Speaking of Sports. And actually, sports teams and venue owners alike are constantly obsessing about how to make their events more fan-friendly. How can you make it better? And if you're looking for a great blueprint, we turn you to Larry Ellison, who really, this is a place they should really look at, this week's BNP Paribas Open and its host, Indian Wells Tennis Garden. Boy, are they doing some amazing things there.
$200 million the guy put into the event so far, and the grounds, $100 million to be spent on ongoing renovations over the next 3 years. Jim, includes tennis fifth Grand Slam perception. That's what everybody's thinking now. Two, three luxurious stadium courts, massive shaded lounges, picnic areas, $400 million in prize money, 500 million attendance, 500,000 attendance this year. Sorry, one less zero. It may overtake, but here's the number. Overtake the French Open in scope,
wow,
which is huge.
Wow, that is amazing. But when you talk about $400 million in prize money and putting $200 million into the facility, another $100 million coming, I mean, the players can't wait to get there, right?
Can't wait to get there. It's a big deal. Palm Springs in the middle of the desert in March. Pretty darn good. The only person who may not wait to get there is Maria Sharapova. Remember, she failed her drug test at the Australian Open. And her sponsorships may be at risk. $30 million, according to Forbes, off court. She's got a lot of deals. Nike, tagged her, withdrew their support, and so she's got her own line of Sharapova candies and other stuff. So good luck. Try to figure that one out.
She's made a lot of money in her career. If she never made another dollar, I'm sure that she's okay. But it's really more about that. I mean, this is not the way that you want to go out, is it?
Well, it's about image. And frankly, I think she did everything she could do under the circumstances. She admitted she was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She admitted it was a mistake. And it wasn't one of those things where you do it to get better on the court, and it's not steroids. It's just was on the drug list. She was very careless about monitoring what was on the list and what shouldn't have been. You could argue that that particular drug shouldn't have been on the list, but it was, and she didn't read it, and her bad.
Let me get in a little bit of NFL here. We got to get that every week. NFL owners are going to gather in Florida for their one of their annual meetings next Saturday. And now that they've figured out what's going on in Los Angeles, maybe what they need to talk about is the gigantic spending spree that broke out when free agency started last week. I mean, you had some people go crazy, absolute nuts. I mean, they need to tone this down a little bit, don't they?
Well, it depends on who you are. If you're a player or an agent, you say bring it on. And frankly, it is a mathematical formula. It's a revenue piece of the overall gross revenues divided by 32 teams, and that's the $155 million salary cap. And as you know, because you're in demand on the radio dial all over the world, all it takes is two. So, you know, two teams for Brock Osweiler, $18 million a year. Two teams, Jerry Reese commits $150 million for four unproven free agents. And two teams, Chris Ivory, $32.5 million, even though he just cracked the 1,000-yard barrier. So you could complain about it, but it's not going away.
All right, listen, I'm disturbed by one of the things I see in the Horro Sports Brief this morning, and that's this wacky cable television world and their regulations that we're talking about. America finding itself in catch-up mode when it comes to broadcast technology? Come on, we're the sports country. Don't we have the best stuff?
Yeah, we do. We always have the best stuff. Sometimes we're not able to use it. So companies like Globecast and others, light years ahead of U.S. firms, ultra-high def, the 4K channel with 4K UHD, we may be able to do everything and might even be able to make putts for you, by the way. And they're going to roll it out to Masters a little bit. And you can really see, let's see what happens. You can see how steep it is to climb them and to see the contours on the green. So let's watch.
Terrific stuff as usual. The Professor Rick Horro, thanks for being with us once again on NBC Sports Radio.
See you next week, man.
All right, pal, thanks very much. Enjoy being back in your time zone. All right, that's going to do it. No, it's not. What am I saying? We got halfway to go here. Are you kidding me? Up next, we have a pretty interesting conversation for you. And speaking of sports, we'll take you Hollywood next on NBC. Yeehaw! Here we go, second half of Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate that. As promised, going to take you the Hollywood direction now. Well, Hollywood via location in Toronto. It was just announced, actually, that Max Barbicau's short film, The Duke, based on the memoir I Am the Duke by J.P. Duke, is an official selection at this year's Tribeca Film Festival, along with seven other festivals, including this year's Cannes Film Festival. It stars LaMonica Garrett. This is a guy that you may know from Blackish, Daddy's Home, Transformers, The Dark Side of the Moon, Sons of Anarchy. And he brings the viewer inside the mind of a former NFL player that's suffering with CTE. This is an interesting perspective on the whole CTE thing and NFL players. Actor, producer LaMonica Garrett joins us now to talk about The Duke. Welcome to NBC Sports Radio, LaMonica.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad to be here.
LaMonica, movies are about escapism and make-believe and a lot of times, but this is more like a sports documentary considering the serious issue of concussion and CTE in our world and in the NFL. Let me first ask about your football experience as a young man. Was football your favorite sport growing up?
Yeah, I was named after a football player. I grew up in the Bay Area from San Francisco. I was named after Daryl LaMonica, famous Raiders quarterback. Yeah. And I played football all through Pee Wee's high school, got a scholarship to Central State of Ohio, and played linebacker up there. I was a safety and transferred into linebacker. But, I had workouts with the Lions, with the Rams.
Wow.
Football was a part of my fabric.
Especially getting started and, you know, trying to find out exactly what direction you're going to go. Obviously, film is the direction, television and film. It's worked out pretty well for you. Now, let's back to your director real quick, Max Barbicale. He said this, and I want to quote him. I want to pull the viewer into the heartbreaking reality of what life is like for men who must start over all too soon and whose condition can result in depression, dementia, and even death, close quote. The film is said to have a really frenetic pace and a really nerve-searing sound editing that places the viewer inside of a CTE-ridden mind. Man, how do you go about preparing for something like that?
I did a lot of research. I studied, different families that have been affected from living with former athletes that are suffering from this. You know, memory loss is something that short-term memory loss, long-term memory loss, mood swings, you know, impulse. You can't really control some of the impulses. You can't, you just do things sometimes out of, you think about it, but you don't really have time to react. And it's just, you think about all these things that goes on with CTE, you see other illnesses like a cancer. Like if you're doing chemo, radiation, you might see hair loss. You might see weight loss in certain people with certain illnesses. It's tricky with CTE and brain issues because there's good days and bad days. And you might be with this person hanging out and you really don't know what they're going through. They could be the charismatic guy, you know, life of the party, telling jokes. And then go home and have a bad experience, a mood swing, and you see the dark side of the disease. But if you're not with the person all the time, you really don't know. And I heard, I don't know for sure, but I heard this was what Junior say I was going through. His friends that hung out with him a lot, they said, we never knew anything was going on. He was always like the fun guy, Junior. Everybody was buddy. He was, Junior was always smiling. Junior was this, but he had a dark demon that he was dealing with and these brain issues. And unless you're with him every day, you really don't know what's going on.
Actor and producer LaMonica Garrett is joining us now from a movie set in Toronto, and we appreciate your time this morning. But you mentioned Junior Seau. You know, he has kind of become sort of a CTE poster child. I mean, seemingly the perfect life, you know, the NFL campaign, the hero in the community and the family. But he winds up taking his own life and does it in such a way that he leaves his brain intact to be studied. I mean, the whole thing just mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes, and he's the face of it. And then when certain players start retiring from the NFL early, I think for me, the most notable one, being a 49er fan, but this early in his career with Chris Borland retiring after like a rookie of the year type rookie season. And he was handed the keys to the defense. You know, Patrick Willis retired. It was going to be his defense, and he just checked out. And he said for that reason, he's played with concussions at University of Wisconsin. And I remember a couple games during his rookie season with the 49ers, he got concussed. At least one game, I remember. So he made the decision to, you know what, it's not worth it. And then other players in the NFL started looking around like, what does he know that we don't know? And then slowly the dominoes started falling and other players started retiring. It's like, you know, it's eye-opening. They're walking away from a lot of money.
You know, Will Smith completed his film on CTE last year, and he said that he now has a hard time watching his favorite football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, after what he discovered during the making of Concussion. Has this film, The Duke, affected you in any way or a similar way?
It's tricky. I love football. I wish all the information was out there so people could have a chance to move forward with, you know, everything they know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you choose to do that, I think in everything in life, no matter what it is, if it's something worth having, you're gonna sacrifice something. And that's something hard to sacrifice. Like, that's a big one. But if you know that going in and you choose to do this anyway, that, you know, that's you. That's who you are. No one can tell you otherwise. But I think everything should be laid out on the table so you know what you're getting into. But it's hard. I love football. I love watching football. I want everyone to know what it is. And then they make that calculated decision to move forward.
LaMonica Garrett is our guest. I see that you're going to be starring in Michael Bay's new TNT series and upcoming ABC drama with Kiefer Sutherland. What else have you got going on?
I did a movie. It's going to be straight to Netflix. It's called XOXO. It's with a really good cast. It's the world of the super DJs, like those the Calvin Harrises and the Avilos and those kind of guys, those Vegas
Wet
DJs.
Republic, yeah.
Really fun movie. That'll be out sometime this year. I did another episode of Blackish. But, yeah, the Last Ship coming out in June, and I have Designated Survivor on ABC with Kiefer starting in the fall, September.
Nice. That's going to be fun stuff. Now, I know that you're a football guy and you're a Bay Area guy, a 49ers fan. I've got to ask you about Colin Kaepernick. I mean, what do you think about Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly's system? Is that a good fit, or they need to move on?
You know what? I think the only reason you bring in a Chip Kelly is to get the most out of Colin. That's my personal opinion. I think the type of offense that Chip Kelly wanted to run in Philly, he needed a Kaepernick-type quarterback, and he didn't have it. He had a traditional pocket passer in Bradford, and it just didn't work out. And then they brought in a hard-nosed running back like DeMarco Murray that, you know, hit the gap, feeding the ball 30 times. He gets stronger as the game goes on. They didn't need that kind of running back. So it was a bunch of square pegs and round holes, I think, with Colin and Chip. I think you got to give it one shot. I know Kaepernick's trying to get out of there, but I say give it a shot and see how it goes this season.
Yeah, really. Listen, we agree on that, too. I think that he's a great fit for exactly what Chip wants to do.
Yeah, you got to give it a shot, man. Like, where are you trying to end up? This guy is like, he'll maximize every one of your assets.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the guy led them to a Super Bowl a couple years ago.
He's got it in him.
Yeah, he does have it in him. Look, I got to ask you one more question. I see this long list of things that you've been involved with. You were on Sons of Anarchy, which is a hugely popular show. Was it hard for you getting capped the way you did in Sons of Anarchy?
You know what? It was on that show, you know you're going to die at some point. Like, you'll see other actors around the city at different auditions. It's not if you're going to die, it's how.
Okay.
And hopefully you have a glorious, memorable death scene. But, yeah, that it was a violent show. No one dies in their sleep in Charming, California. Like, nobody. You're going out hard.
That was great stuff, man. I really enjoyed that. The Duke has its world premiere at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival, most recently accepted and screened at the Pasadena International Film Festival. Other screenings include the Vail Film Festival and this year's Cannes Film Festival. We look forward to seeing it in theaters soon and wish you nothing but the best of luck. LaMonica Garrett, thanks for joining us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, brother.